Welcome to Wildlife Outdoors with your host, Russell and Jose. If you have a passion for conservation of the outdoors, or you're enjoying a calming hike in the mountains, an exhilarating kayak trip on the river, feeling a fish on the end of your line, cooking on an open flame in a primitive campsite, or stalking big game, just waiting for the perfect shot, you're in the right place. So put on your boots and polarized sunglasses and come along for the ride.
Welcome to the Untamed Podcast. My name is Jose, and we're also with Russell Reynolds.
How's it going?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about spot burning and pot licking. We're also going to be introducing some new segments, so if you guys like it or have any comments, suggestions, please let us know. But we're going to try out and test a few things. So, yeah, just let us know what you think. So the first segment is actually titled The Conservation Conversation, where we bring conservation news to you locally and globally. And so for today, I think it would be appropriate to start with the National Invasive Species Awareness Week. It's actually... it goes from February 20th through the 26th. And since we're within that range, I figured it'd be a good point of conversation. But also, it'd be good to raise awareness about invasive species and how to mitigate their spread. So in our previous podcast, we talked a little bit about invasive species and what they are. But if you're new or you may not have heard that one, essentially invasive species are those that are non-native, but cause either environmental or actually both environmental and economic harm, but can also be harmful to human health. And so the, I guess the point of National Invasive Species Awareness Week is to try and raise awareness of invasive species, how to reduce their spread. So there's a few different points in order to help mitigate their spread. So one is to not release your fish from your fish tank into local waters. And this happens quite a lot. Where I'm from in Central Texas, there's a pretty popular river that runs through a college town. And unfortunately, I do believe students will go and release their pets and has caused for some interesting ecological impacts. And it's and that particular system is kind of fragile. There's some native species that are endemic to that river only. So it's if you're not careful, you can really, really mess up that system. So that's one thing. Also, if you have any pets, like any reptiles, snakes, alligators, lizards, monitors, or whatever, like just be careful. Don't release them to the wild. As I mean, it's just not good for the native species and native populations. Case in point would be Florida. They are overrun by pythons and iguanas, and they're just a huge issue. And the local fauna are suffering. So just be mindful, be responsible. The other one is if you're fishing, use and dump the bait from the area in which you caught it. So don't transfer bait from one water body to another. You know, just keep them local. Plant native. I know ornamental plants can be really beautiful, but if you're not careful, they can begin to spread, and that's what we don't want. So, and there's also a lot of really beautiful native plants too, if you care to just do a little bit of research. One of my favorites here in Texas is the Texas mountain laurel. Beautiful plant, and they smell amazing. They're really, really cool.
Like grape
I think
soda.
People like grape soda. I mean, they're awesome. So there's some really cool native plants out there that I think a lot of people would enjoy. Not only that, but native plants will attract native wildlife too. So if you like seeing different kinds of birds and like hummingbirds or whatever, like it can really, really help planting native plants. And I think it'll be good all around. All right. So yeah, so plant native. Next one would be don't carry hitchhikers. So if you're walking in areas, just stick to the trails. Be mindful of your footwear and your clothing. You know, seeds and things can attach to you. So yeah, just, you know, keep your shoes clean, keep your clothes clean. Stick to the designated areas and you should be all good. And then finally, clean, drain, and dry your boat and gear. At least here in Texas, you'll see a lot of signs like in water bodies that contain zebra mussels. reminding you to wash your boats and things like that so you can prevent the spread of zebra mussels. So just be mindful of that. Yeah, that's about it. So, you know, we can do better at preventing the spread of invasive species. We just have to be a little bit more careful. And I think this is really important. The National Invasive Species Awareness Week is really important to kind of raise that awareness and make people more knowledgeable with what's going on and how to prevent that stuff. But yeah, so any thoughts, Russell?
I guess we can dig in a little deeper on each of those points. We gave an explanation on what it is, but we can also give examples. So what was your, if you can remind me, what was your first point that you made? Was it the not releasing pets?
Not releasing pets like fish, reptiles, things like that.
So, I mean, as a lot of people would know, people go to college and whenever you go to the dorms, they tell you, oh, you can't have your pets, this and that, da, da, da. You can have hamsters, you can have fish and stuff like that. So a lot of, you know, kids, young students that grew up with animals will go, and oh, well, I'll just get a goldfish. And then when it comes, you know, time for break and they have to go back home, well, I don't need this thing. So they'll throw it in the local waterway. It's not healthy. There's a lot of damage that it can cause. For instance, he was talking about the Central Texas River, that runs through a campus. There are plenty of, they call them, you know, typical sucker fish, aquarium sucker fish. They're really called a plecostomus, and they are wreaking havoc on the natural ecosystem in said river. Texas wild rice is that's the only place that you can find that vegetation, and they're completely wiping it out. So there are actually places where they have bounties, and certain times of year they have bounties to remove these plecostomus from the waterways.
Did you know that? So
that's just one example of where it does it. Really? They have tournaments now?
Dude, apparently they have a spearfishing tournament for those things in that river.
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. Man. That might have to be something we might have to run down and do.
Dude, I would be down. So yeah, not to interrupt or anything, just a little fun fact. And again, that's to try and combat the spread of this particular invasive species. But yeah, Russell nailed it on the head, man. It's just be responsible when you're dumping your pets. Preferably don't get a pet if you think you're going to dump it. That's not cool either. So, you know, just think about really what it takes to take care of these animals. Take into consideration like the size, how big they're going to get, how much danger they can cause to you or your family members or other pets you may have. You know, if it's something that you don't think you can manage, then just be responsible and be honest with yourself. And, you know, just don't do that for yourself and also for the sake of the animal, too.
Exactly. I mean, or else you'll end up with things like Burmese pythons that are 26 feet long living in the Everglades. You know, people get, oh, that's a cool looking python. And then it gets above 20 feet. They don't know what to do with it. So,
yep, exactly.
And what was the next point?
Use and dump the bait where you caught it. So, like, if you're going to
dig a little deeper on that one,
So, like, if like on the coast, for example, if you're going to go and cast net some fish, you know, for a day of fishing, cast net some bait like mullet or pinfish, whatever it may be. Wherever you got it from, just dump it there. Don't, you know, don't catch it and then take it up the coast and dump it there or in any other freshwater bodies. You want to try and keep these things where you caught it.
And that is due to possible infestations of parasites and disease and stuff like that, I'm assuming?
Yeah. And the spread of the species. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So the next one would be plant native.
Okay.
So, yeah. So again, like a lot of people want like ornamental plants because they're really pretty or whatever the case may be. But if they're not local to the area, or not even necessarily local, but if they're not native to the area, they can potentially spread if you're not careful. And not to say that you couldn't have ornamentals if you're not careful, but it is possible to have a population establish and potentially begin to spread. So, you know, consider planting native. And again, like native plants tend to attract native wildlife, you know, bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, other types of birds. So if you just enjoy like sitting on your porch, drinking coffee or tea, whatever it is that you like to do, and you like to take in the local flora and fauna, planting native is a great way to do it. And there are a lot of really beautiful native plants that can add value or perceived value to your yard, right? And so just, you know, do your research and, you know, talk to some arborists or whatever, some of the local experts in landscape, and they could probably point, give you some options. You know, there are other more viable options other than ornamentals.
Exactly. And you can typically get a hold of any local arborist or botanist. Sometimes even Lowe's, Home Depot, big box stores like that will have seed packets of local wildflowers, depending on where they're at geographically in the nation. So I know when I lived in Texas, there was, you know, seed packets of wildflowers, and you get your typical gallardias, Indian paintbrush, blue bonnets, you know, stuff like that, yeah, that grew native to the area that would grow. I haven't checked here in Arkansas where I currently live, but I'm pretty sure there's something similar to that, to where it'll be geographically where you're at in the nation, and they'll have seed packets of natural wildflowers. So that's an option if you just want to have flower beds and stuff like that as well.
Yep, exactly. Explore your options, plant native. The next point would be, don't carry hitchhikers. So just clean your boots, watch where you're walking, stick to the trails that have been designated for like hiking, stuff like that. A lot of times seeds can attach to your clothes and spread. So if you're going to go hike one area one day and then go hike somewhere else the next, maybe something attached to you that isn't necessarily native to the next spot, but could potentially establish and spread. And that's what we're trying to mitigate. So just, you know, be careful where you're walking, be mindful, change your shoes or clean your shoes, change your clothes and all that stuff before you start walking around and exploring. Just kind of help. And also your vehicle. Sometimes seeds will stick to the undercarriage of your vehicle or whatever. Your pets, if you're walking with pets, their fur, all that good stuff. So just be mindful, you know, just take care of your animals, clean yourself, change your clothes, all that good stuff.
And there's a lot of things that can be caused by that, but just to put it down on, you know, a typical day-to-day impact that it could have. When I used to live in San Marcos, Texas, my neighbor had a bad problem with sticker burrs, goat heads, whatever you'd like to call them. And I treated my yard. My yard didn't have weeds, didn't have sticker burrs, nothing like that. But just because my neighbor had them, they started creeping into my yard. So it's kind of the same thing on a much smaller scale. And it was a nuisance for me because I had dogs that would go out there, come back in, and then next thing you know, I got sticker burrs all over my couch and my chair and stepping them on them because they're on the floor, or running around with the backyard with my kids and ended up stepping and stuff. Couldn't even go in my yard barefoot anymore because there was this infestation of a weed that came from my neighbor's yard. So that's just a small example on how it can happen and what it can cause, but it can happen on a much larger scale out in the wilderness. So be mindful of where you're going and what's on you.
Exactly. In South Texas, there's a species is called tanglehead. And to be fair, it is native. So there's another concept called native invasives or native invaders, which is a conversation for another time. But this particular species, when it occurs at certain densities, it's just fine. But when it becomes too dense, it then becomes problematic. And they think one of the ways that it spreads is because those seed heads will stick to people and will stick to animals and will stick to vehicles too. And so they think that as vehicles kind of travel up and down these roads, the seeds can disperse and they can kind of take over. And there are some ranches where, I've done a little bit of research on. And it's just like this huge, like monotypic stand of this particular grass. And so when that happens, you lose a little bit of diversity in the, in your arthropods, in your forbs and other grasses and things like that. And it can cause a cascading effect of negative impacts, so to speak. So that's just one example on a little bit larger scale. But yes, just be a bit mindful about where you're walking, what you're carrying, and all that good stuff. And then the last point is clean, drain, and dry your boats and gear. So if you're a fisherman and you like to wade fish and you happen to be using felt-lined wading boots or whatever, or felt-soled wading boots, you know, do your due diligence and wash them after each trip. You know, if you're going to one river, you want to wash those things out before going to the next, because if there are any like microorganisms or anything that shouldn't be on your boot that you're taking to the next spot, you can certainly introduce something that shouldn't be there. Kind of the same thing for your boat. And I mentioned it previously, One thing that we're having issues with here in Texas and some water bodies is zebra mussels. And a lot of them will attach to boats and things like that. So if you're fishing in areas where there are zebra mussels, you know, just take care and wash your boat down, dry your gear before you head to another water body. That stuff is already getting bad. We don't need it to get worse. But those are just some examples. I don't know if you know of any, Russell, but if you do,
I'm not sure of any. I don't recall seeing any signs of anything, but a lot of the waters that I fish up here is either, you know, backwater creeks to where there ain't signs for anything, or typically at dams where it's colder water and a lot of the signs are pretty much based on, you know, if you're using barbless hooks or not using bait and stuff like that. So I don't recall seeing anything specifically on any of the waterways up here to give examples for that. But, you know, if just because something can thrive in an environment doesn't mean that it needs to be there. And that's the issue that we have for zebra mussels, you know, as an example, that they can go to another waterway and they will thrive and they will get out of control and cause all sorts of ecological harm to the existing environment. And just because it's a good place for them to live doesn't mean that they need to be there. So just be mindful of where you're at, where you're going, and take care of your gear, your boots. You know, if you're wading one section of water, one body of water, and you want to go to another one, take a horsehair brush to the bottom of them, clean them off under your sink, just get rid of anything that might be on it before you go to the next thing. And not only does it help not spread other species, but it also helps just, you know, you're maintaining your gear better. It's a good practice. It'll help your gear last longer.
Yep, exactly. And if you guys would like to learn more, you can go to nisaw.org to learn more about National Invasive Species Awareness Week and just to learn more about invasive species and what you can do to help combat that. I think that will conclude this segment of the conservation conversation.
And so I think we're going to be doing segments, you know, maybe not every episode, but we will be rolling through these. So this episode, we're going to kind of have a mashup of multiple segments that we're going to be doing throughout our podcast, different episodes, mixing them in and out. So we're going to give a little bit of each of them here. And then in the future, we'll most likely not do all 3, 4, or 5 segments that we create all in one episode. So the next thing we're going to get into is going to be the Jack Wagon of the Week. That's something that me and Jose kind of call morons, for lack of a better term, jack wagons. You know, it's like a jackass, but, you know, worse. So the jack wagon of the week that we picked this week is actually a group of jack wagons. So there are 14 of them in this story. There were 3 boats that were captured in Corpus Christi, Texas, that came from Mexico, and they were coming up and catching illegal fish in U.S. waters and going back to Mexico to sell them. And they got caught with almost 3,000 pounds of illegal fish on these 3 boats. There was 400 pounds of sharks, 2,400 pounds of red snapper, and the list just goes on, and all these things that they had on their boat that they were doing illegally. I mean, it was poaching. They were coming across, you know, to the border and in the U.S. waters, catching fish, taking them back, selling them at the market. And I didn't even know this was a thing until I read the article. And it's apparently a common thing that, you know, they'll come up here and get a bunch of fish, go back. And in this instance, this was, I think, between August of last year to January of this year was when this article that I was reading was based, and when they caught those 3 boats with over 3,000 pounds of fish. And they were just coming up and getting the fish, going back, and there was 3 boats, 14 gentlemen, and they said hundreds of pounds of gear, all sorts of fishing stuff and spear stuff, and I mean, they were just going at it. So those are our jack wagons of the week. What do you have to say about that, Jose?
What jack wagons, dude? That, oh man, I can't stand poachers. I cannot stand poachers. And this is a good point to make. So, like, for any of you who may be spending time in the outdoors, it may not be a bad idea to have the phone numbers of your local fish and game officers or game wardens. For instances like this, I know at least here in Texas, there's Operation Game Thief, where you can make calls and report things. But this is super important. We have to protect our resources, and we just have to try and minimize this stuff, man. Like, that just really boils my blood. The fact that they're coming over here catching these fish illegally and then going back and selling them. That's just not cool, man.
A killing.
Yeah, dude, 3,000 pounds. And that's
3,000 pounds.
That is.
I mean, how much do you pay for fish at the store? $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 a pound. Yeah.
On the cheaper side, depending on what you're making.
Right.
Yeah, dude.
Exactly. I mean, they weren't out there catching, you know, Alaska salmon or anything, but.
but dude, I mean, even then, like, if they're catching, like, red snapper, which sounds like, I think it's out of season during that time frame. I mean, dude, red snapper at the local grocery store is, like, I don't even know, like, $10, if that, maybe more, a pound. And these are catching 3,000 pounds worth of fish. I mean, that's just an assumption. I don't know what they're actually catching, but. You know, regardless, dude, it's just I can't even talk to you. It just sucks. It really sucks, for lack of a better term. Yeah. So, you know, keep your eye out for. And then, just keep your eye out for, you know, any fish and game violations. You know, these are all of our resources, not just mine, not just Russell's, all of ours. And we should all be doing our due diligence and taking responsibility for that. If you want to try and keep going and preserving these natural resources for future generations, you know, this should bother everybody as much as it bothers me. You know, this is for all of us. So yeah, just exactly. Keep an eye out and don't be afraid to report stuff. You know, this is a public trust. It belongs to everybody.
Exactly. And if you have any questions on what might look suspicious to you or any illegal activity that you come across, depending on where you're at, you can most likely just Google, you know, like in Texas, it's Texas Parks and Wildlife. In Arkansas, it's Arkansas Game and Fish. So you can just Google your local agency, whatever it may be called in the region that you're in, and just call them. I'm sure there's any number that you can get a hold of them and they can point you in the right direction. That's what they are there for. They're there for the conservation. And if there's anything that looks suspicious or any illegal activity that you're noticing, just give them a call. And you know, they might be able to point you in the right direction. There might be, you know, an officer right around the corner that might be able to come and investigate. So just do your due diligence, like Jose said. And, you know, it's simple just to pull out your phone and Google the agency and give them a holler. Or if you have a fishing license, you can actually look at your physical fishing license. There'll be a number on there. So,
yep, exactly. And also, to be honest, a lot of this, I think, is also just lack of education. Like every year there are new people getting into the fishing and hunting game and stuff, and maybe they just don't know. And if anybody approaches you, maybe they have an undersized fish, or maybe they have a fish that shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't have on the stringer or something like that, you know, just point it out. You know, people like, hey, you know, that I don't think that's legal or whatever. If that's the case, like I've had people come up to me who have caught a fish, like, do you know what this is? Can we keep it? And I have to tell them. And so if you ever find yourself in a situation like that, you know, just it's a good opportunity to educate people too. So for the next segment, we have come up with a segment called What Chaps My Ass. And you know what chaps my ass, Russell?
What chaps your ass, I say?
Pot liquors.
Pot liquors. You mean to tell me that if you're catching fish in a spot and I can't just go fish right next to you because that's where the fish are at? Does that piss you off?
Exactly. No. But,
oh, man.
Dude, yes. That would really piss me off. Now, for those of you who don't know, and I don't know if it's a regional thing. Like, I have no idea. But at least here in Texas, we call people. So, like, okay. So let's just kind of, I guess, preface things. So let's say you're at a fishing spot, right? You found some fish and you're catching fish. Next thing you know, you have people coming in, moving as close to you as they can get, or trying to cast in that spot as close to you as they can get, or you maybe even have boats coming in. And I have seen this fishing on the coast, man. People are ruthless. Like, they'll go, if they see you like working an edge and you're catching fish, they will like pull up in front of you and cut your drift off. Like, it is ridiculous. And it really, really sucks. And so for that, we there's a term called pot liquors. And you know, to be fair, I think that there are instances in which you can't really help it. Like when you're fishing on a pier, for example, on the coast, piers can get really packed and you can only cast so far or in so many directions. So inevitably, you know, it's going to happen. And I am okay with that. Like, that's just kind of the nature of the game when it comes to pier fishing. But dude, if you are like in the flats and you have literally hundreds of yards worth of, or maybe even miles of water to cover, and you're going to pull up right next to me and fish the hole that I'm working? Dude, come on. That's not cool.
I agree. That's not like all the fish are congregating there. It's happened to me on the river a few times, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I mean, it's a narrow river. I get it. You can't control your drift. You know, especially with us being fly fishermen, it's hard to put your fly rod down and actually have to paddle. Like, I can get it a little more on a smaller river. I don't fish open water too often, but I've seen it happen. And luckily, if, you know, the few times that I've experienced something similar to that, I was with a guide and we were just kind of going with it, working schools of fish as it was. So they weren't coming too close and taking spots or pot licking, but they were kind of following in our drift, which I'm a little more okay with because they're not interfering with our fishing. Yeah, they might be in the same spot that we're going, but they're doing it respectfully. They're not coming up and getting in the way of our drift. They're not going to our spot. They're staying behind us and just following where we went and where we had luck. And then we'd look back and they're hooking up too. So wasn't really a big issue there. Didn't bother me too much.
Yeah. And you raise a good point. Like on smaller water bodies, it is tough. You know, like where I currently reside, it's a pretty populated town and there's just not a whole lot of like fishable spots. And those spots there are, they get pretty hammered. So inevitably, you know, you're probably going to get a little bit closer to some people than maybe you would be comfortable with or vice versa. And, you know, that's just kind of the nature of the game. However, I do believe there's like an etiquette that you can follow in order to make it more, I guess, enjoyable for everybody. Like if you... I'm not gonna lie, man, if I'm fishing a spot and somebody's like, hey man, like, do you mind if I cast in there or do you mind if I fish with you? I'm like, nah, dude, like, come on, you know, it's like, I don't mind. Cause at least you're showing like, at least you're being respectful enough to at least ask. And, you know, I'd be like, yeah, dude, whatever. But if you're just going to like come in and cut in, dude, that's like kind of like stepping on someone's toes, you know, it's just like, it's not cool, dude. So I think there is a more respectful way to go about things. And, cause again, you know, sometimes it, depending on where you're fishing, it can be tough, but there is, I believe, an etiquette that you can follow to just make it better for everybody.
Exactly. I'm not going to say any names, but I've had some instances where, people have gone into coves that I'm fishing, pull off of, you know, into a, right on the edge of an eddy, right off of a ripple, smallmouth fishing on a smaller river, and just see a prime spot where they'd be right there on the edge of the current, and next kayak, whoop, pulls right in and just pretty much blows the spot. So, you know, just be mindful of who you're fishing with, or even if you're not fishing with them, just be mindful of other anglers out there. You know, that might not really necessarily be pot licking. That's just kind of more of a nuisance, but but just be mindful either way.
Yep. And that's kind of the deal, man. Like this is, you know, public waters. It's all fair game, right? Technically speaking, it's all fair game, but I do believe that we can respect each other. Cause I mean, people's times are just so limited. You know, we don't know like how, like maybe someone gets to go fishing like once a month if they're lucky, and they probably just want to go and have a good time. And then when the stuff like this happens, maybe sour the moment a little bit. So, you know, just be respectful of people. Don't be afraid to talk to them. Don't be afraid to ask. Like, hey, you know, do you mind if I like kind of drift in front of you, or, you know, if I work my way in front of you or whatever the case may be, or if I can even join you, you know, I'm pretty sure I know folks who wouldn't mind like letting people come and fish a hole they're working or whatever if the fish are there. So, yeah, man, just be respectful. Don't be afraid to go and approach your fellow sportsmen, you know, just do so respectfully.
Yep. I mean, I've met numerous people where whether I walk up to them or they walk up to me after seeing somebody fishing a hole at a dam, and I'm over here fishing in the current and haven't caught anything, and I see them pulling fish out left and right. When they're leaving, hey, man, you mind if I go over there? What were you throwing? Stuff like that. Strike up a conversation. And it's turned to, you know, hey, you know, add me on Instagram, and we become friends. And next thing you know, 2 weeks later, you're out fishing with somebody. So you can always make a friend. And if you're doing that, then it's going to be less likely for it to seem like potlicking or like you're going over there and just offending somebody trying to get in their spot.
Dude, exactly. I mean, I a lot of the fishermen I've met on the water have been some of the coolest people, man. They're great conversation, just good, you know, all around good folks. But again, that kind of goes like with the attitude, you know, how you go in and approach the situation, all that stuff. And, but yeah, man, like, I think it's pretty neat. how, I guess, because it's also, you know, we are already doing this thing, so we know we have something in common. So it's just really easy to like strike up a conversation and just, you know, I don't know, man. Just, I guess, plan the next trip, dude. Like one of my buddies from back home, we were part of the same fishing group on Facebook. And then we just commented on some photos, became friends. Now he's like a good, well, became Facebook friends. Went fishing one time. Now he's like, we go fishing all the time when we can. But yeah, it's just crazy how stuff can happen like that. You just got to not be afraid to say what's up and, you know,
exactly.
Know what happens, man.
And most fishermen live by a common code of conduct. I mean, they know how to respect the environment. They know how to respect each other. And, you know, if you're out there doing the same thing they are, I mean, most likely they're going to have similar mindsets. So don't be scared to go meet your fellow sportsmen.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
So I saw that you posted some pictures the other day of you doing some fishing.
Me doing some fishing?
Yeah. Posted some pictures of some bass a few days ago on your story.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So you got some time out on the water, huh?
So I've been, finally, dude. So I've been tying more flies than I've been actually like been able to go fishing. And so this week here in Texas, we had a week of actually pretty nice weather. It warmed up a bit and I just had a feeling that the fish are going to be a bit more active. So, I tied these like super tiny deer hair, like micro popper size 8. And I was just like, man, I really want to go test these things out. Even though it's February here in Texas, it's still kind of technically winter. And to my surprise, dude, like the fish were super active, man. They were like, I moved a lot of fish. I didn't hook as many as I like that would come up and swipe it. You know, they missed a lot, but the ones that did hook were a bit bigger than the average. Even caught a pretty decent little largemouth on that little popper. It was a lot of fun, man. So I did that one morning and then we went back the next afternoon and finally had some time out in the water, dude. Felt so good.
That's awesome.
I missed it. I miss it so much.
Man, I've been needing to get out there.
Yeah. I also saw some photos of you from a little tournament.
Yeah, did a little pickerel tournament up here. Only caught two of them. We had a good show out. I'll give a little plug here for Wachita Outdoor Outfitters here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And they hosted a pickerel tournament last weekend. And we had a good show out. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we had 18 people show up, kayak tournament. So
nice.
I didn't place. It was tough fishing. Ended up losing a rod. Didn't realize that I lost it until it was gone. And got so lucky that another angler actually hooked it unintentionally. I left. I was having a bad day. I took some pictures of the event, got some decent pictures, caught a couple fish. Wind was blowing me around like crazy. My anchor wasn't working properly. It was a nightmare. And so I was just ready to leave. And so I left, you know, lost my rod and reel. And then my buddy sent me a picture of my rod and reel. And said that another angler had hooked it. And there was only a few of us fly fishermen. I think there was 6 fly fishermen, if I'm not mistaken. And the rest were all conventional anglers. And it was a conventional angler that hooked it and reeled it in and knew it was one of us fly fishing guys. So I haven't gotten picked it up yet, but it's up there at the shop. So I get to go get it. So a little relieved.
Dude, you gotta buy that person a beer, man. That
right.
is freaking
I need
nuts.
To.
Yep. What luck.
Right.
What luck.
And that's 2 setups that I've lost now, and both times got them back. One time was on the Wachita River, and I searched for 2 hours and 45 minutes in 8 to 10 foot deep rushing water trying to find that thing. I had my anchor hooked on a cleat that was on the same bungee that was holding my rod, and the anchor somehow slipped and got caught, pulled the bungee, and there goes my rod. And I saw it happen. And so I knew roughly where it was at. I found it probably about 30 feet downstream in the ripple. But I went and pulled my kayak to the side and swam back and forth for hours and found it. So I've been lucky twice now.
You need to get, I don't know, man, you need to get like a lanyard or something or a float for for your rods.
Right.
That's crazy.
I bought a tether system. One little section for that. So this last time I used it for my phone because I lost a phone the same place that we had the tournament. I lost a phone last year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And brand new too, wasn't
it? Yeah, I'd had it for maybe a couple months. We're on a flycraft raft,
dude.
And one of the pontoons popped and it was cold. And when I was paddling, knocked the phone out of my pocket, right in the water, saw it going down, and we were already sinking as it was. And so, you know, priorities. I'm not going to make these two other guys sink because I'm out digging for a phone. So filed insurance on it, and so lost that. Yeah, I just had the worst luck. But I just need to lanyard everything. Put everything on my kayak and just have it to wear.
Dude, losing stuff on the water sucks. Like, I lost a cell phone on my buddy's private pier one time.
It was just me out there.
And I was just, it was my fault. I was not thinking. You know, I got too comfortable. I had my cell phone on the railing listening to music while I was fishing. I caught a little speckled trout, and I'm like, I have it in my hand, and I'm trying to take the lure out, and it like tail slaps my phone. Mm-hmm. And then I just hear a bloop, and then I hear the music slowly fading away. And I look down, I can see the screen like getting dimmer and dimmer. I was like, fuck, dude, I lost my stupid cell phone that night. I let that fish go, and I was like, I'm calling it a night. I'm done. So, but I had to go to Walmart and buy an alarm clock because that phone was my alarm clock. So I had to go buy an alarm clock so I wouldn't miss class the next day. And then I had to go to Best Buy and buy one of those prepaid cell phones and use that. So I was able to get another cell phone. It was a mess, dude. So bungee cords, and then they have these like little floating pouches for your cell phone. I use one now all the time whenever I go fishing. Dude, good investments. Anybody who's spending time on the water, you probably already know this. But if you don't, yeah, invest in something like that. What's up, AJ?
I'll say I said hi. You want to say hi to Uncle Joe? Wave at him. He can see you.
Hi.
Hey. Oh, she can't hear me.
Yeah, no, you're on my headphones.
Special guest.
Yep, special guest arrival special right guest here. Got my youngest, Adeline. She's been putting on her own makeup, if you can't tell. You going to show him your makeup? Look at the camera and say hi to the camera.
Already.
Hi. Look, see the camera? Say hi to the camera. Right there. See the little circle? Look at the circle. All right. Go to your room for a little bit, okay? You can go finish watching your movie. Okay. Yeah. So I need to get something. I need to get some type of float for my rods or something like that. I like the tether that I had for my phone. It worked out perfectly because it's like remember the old lanyards that you'd have for your badges in school, how they kind of extend.
Oh,
so it was like that. And it goes on a rail. Oh, she wants to show her makeup. Here's my daughter's makeup. There you go, baby.
It's real.
It's real. And so it extends just like that. My phone fits perfectly between, because I was using my new Bonafide 10-7 and right between the front seat mount, and there's a little cove in there. My phone fits perfectly right there. So I just extend it, and it's tensioned, and it's not going nowhere. And if for some reason I were to knock it out looking for, you know, flies or something like that, it's on the tether, so it ain't going anywhere. So that's like the perfect setup for that. I just need to find out something for my fly rods now. I want to get an Omega Pro, a couple of Omega Pros, because those can hold fly rods too, but I don't have rear rails on my kayak yet. So when I get rear rails, then I'll just put those Omega Pros on there and go from there.
Nice. Yeah, that Bonafide's freaking sick, dude. I like that color a lot.
Yeah. My buddy Daryl ended up going and getting the Aqua kayak that I wanted with the brown padding, and so I'm gonna trade him.
Yeah,
for
you're
it.
Telling me.
So that's why I haven't put rails on.
Oh, you are gonna trade.
Yeah. So we've already agreed to trade. That's why I haven't done anything to this kayak yet, because I'm sure he wants to set it up the way that he wants to. He's not a fly fisherman, so little different ways of wanting to set stuff up. So haven't done anything with it yet because of that. But I need to make a trip to Texas, trade him kayaks, go fishing with you. There's a lot of stuff I need to do in Texas. Visit family,
dude.
Get on some reds, get on some specs. Oh, need to make it happen.
Yeah, bruh. Haven't made it happen yet.
Right. So we're coming up on...
I need to go to Arkansas and get on some smallies, too.
You do.
Man. We've been talking about that. Well, we too. Okay, to be fair, we went in October, but that was tough fishing. Tough. We didn't have the right gear, and then the wind was brutal, dude. So I would like to go back and give it another shot and try and get something... I did catch two smallmouth that trip.
Yeah.
My first smallmouth. And dude, they're such cool fish, so beautiful. But I would love to go and give it another shot and hopefully get in some larger ones.
Yeah. I definitely want to. Soon, whenever it starts warming up a little bit here, there's some real good spots around here that my buddy Evan up at Washed Outdoor Outfitters has a guide service. So if y'all are in the area, go hit up Washed Outdoor Outfitters. Washed Out Fly Anglers is the name of his business. I'll plug him as well. Go into the shop. He's normally in there, and he can get you guys on some fish. But I'm hopefully going to be going out with him whenever it warms up and try to learn him a little better, because I've always had issues catching them. And so if I do that prior to you coming up, then we'll go and use some of the new knowledge that I'll get on how to fish for them, because apparently I don't know what I'm doing. And hopefully we'll get on some bigger ones. Oh, I was going to tell you, there is a event. What? Can't remember all of the details off my head, but it's on the Kings River. It's a fly fishing kayak event on the Kings River here in Arkansas for smallmouth in June or July. That I was going to tell you about. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll see if I can, dude. I'll probably put the link in this podcast if anybody in the area wants to sign up for it. But I'll also send it to you. And if you could swing it, I think that would be fun.
Bro, I will try to swing it. That's going to be tough, because that's like in the middle of my field season. But mm-hmm. I think for something like that, I'll make it work. I'll find a way to make it work.
Right. So yeah, I'll get the information for you, and I'll send it to you. And then when we publish this podcast, I'll go ahead and I'll put the link in there and kind of help out with it as well. And all these plugs I'll have in the description. On how to access, Washed Out Fly Anglers, Washed Outdoor Outfitters, and then also this tournament. So we'll all put that in the description there. So is there anything else you want to cover in this podcast, bro?
Oh, man. I think we covered it pretty well.
I think so as well. We're coming up close to an hour. So I think we're pretty good. Yeah. So to close this out, thank you guys for watching. If you can, share, like, subscribe, anything you can do. We're going to try to put this on as multiple platforms as we can. And we appreciate y'all's support. And if y'all have any questions, any suggestions, feel free to comment down or reach out to either me or Jose on our socials. And we'll answer any questions that we can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We'd love to hear your feedback and see what we're doing good, if we're doing anything good, what we're doing bad, if we're doing anything bad, and just try and improve. And or if you have any like comments, things that you'd like to hear on the show, just feel free to reach out to us and let us know.
Yep, we greatly appreciate it.
This has been Wildlife Outdoors. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at Wildlife Outdoors and on Instagram at wild.life.outdoors. Let's go live life on the wild side.